We're talking about creation is waiting. We're going to go back to where we were a couple of months ago, and I'll say this again for sake of it being on the CD, and for those who are listening all over the world by CD or MP3 download, that in my younger days, I always knew there was more. That always got me in trouble because I kept moving out of the realm of what I was expected to be and expected to do. Anybody ever been there? I mean, I was in a place, and I seemingly belonged to a place, but I knew there was more, and it kept messing with the place that I was supposed to be in. So I kept moving on into something better. And so I believe I have tapped into something, and God has spoken something powerfully to me today to share with you. And so we're looking at Romans chapter 8. And I have selected for this passage the complete Jewish Bible, verses 16 through 23. So follow along as we see these powerful words from God. It says, the Spirit Himself. Everybody say the Spirit Himself.
Spirit Himself.
It says that He bears witness with our spirit. So there's something on the inside of us that identifies with the Holy Spirit, that He identifies with us. We bear witness with one another. And here's what we bear witness with. We bear witness that we are the children of God. So when you became born again, the first person that told you you really didn't get born again, did you listen? Because there was already a bearing witness on the inside that I'm a child of God. And so don't let anybody ever talk you out of that. Don't let the lies of the enemy try to discourage you and make you believe that you're not a child of God. Because folks, you are the children of God. Verse 17. And if we are children, now we've done established that we are children. And he says, if we are children, then we are also heirs. I'm going to get deep in over my head this morning. Are you ready to go with me? Are you with me, church? Then we are also heirs, heirs of God. Wow, can you imagine an heir of God? Some people would say that's sacrilegious. Well, I don't care what sack you put it in, we're heirs of God. And joint heirs, equal heirs with the Messiah. Provided we are suffering with Him. How many wants to suffer with Jesus? Well, that's not what it's all about. This word suffering means to share or to understand the feelings or ideas of another. And now we're talking about Jesus. So in other words, it means to identify with the finished work of Jesus. It doesn't mean I got to suffer. Do you know that the church world at large takes a day every year and celebrates suffering saints around the world? How can you celebrate suffering? Oh, we're just suffering. I don't want to be in a church like that. But it means to identify with or understand, to share in the finished work of Jesus. How many of you have shared in the finished work of Jesus? He says, in order also to be glorified with Him. Did anybody experience the manifested presence of God in this house this morning? Or to be a partaker of His glory. Verse 18. I don't think the sufferings, here it's talking about hardship or pain, things that we go through subjectively, and emotion or influence, the battle of the mind. Wow, what a word for starting Renewing the Mind conference. We are going through now are worth comparing with the glory. And this phrase, even worth comparing with the glory, is one Greek word, and it means to be apparent. So we see what's there. That will be revealed to us in the future. If you keep hanging on to what you see now, you may not get to your future. God's got more. Everybody say there's more. Okay, so if you're looking at your trouble right now, and that's all you can see is your trouble, God's got a whole bunch more stuff for you in your days ahead that are greater than where you are right now. How many's moving forward to the good stuff that God's got for you? Amen. All right, then he says, verse 19, the creation waits eagerly. What creation is waiting? Let's watch this. They're waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Now, we've already established that we're the children of God, sons and daughters of God. Sons of God is both male and female. That we're waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Verse 20, for the creation was made subject to frustration. Oh, creation is frustrated? Can I show you why today that creation is frustrated? They are made subject to frustration, not willingly, but because of the one who is has subjected it, the one who subjected it, which is Adam, but it will give a reliable hope. It was given a reliable hope. So creation has hope. What is creation hoping for? We're going to find out today. Verse 21, that it too would be set free from its bondage to decay. Have we not been talking about that in the series we just finished about the bondage of decay? It's wanting to get set free from the bondage of deterioration, the bondage of decay, and would enjoy the freedom accompanying the glory that God's children will have. Now, we'll have, I would just say it this way, that we do have the freedom in His glory. Verse 22, we know that until now, everybody say now, the whole creation has been groaning as with the pains of childbirth. And not only it, somebody else has been groaning, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we continue waiting eagerly to be made sons, that is, to have our whole bodies redeemed and set free. So how many of you are satisfied with where you're at right now? If you're satisfied with where you are right now, you'll never get to what's next. So he is saying here that we're waiting for our whole bodies to be redeemed and set free. Are we redeemed in Christ? Are we set free in Christ? How many of you are living right now like you're set free in Christ? Or how many believe your body and mind got some catching up to do? That's what he's talking about. All right, now last time in part one, we looked at Romans 8:19 from the New King James that said, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. I want us to go on and look at the Amplified here that we used last time. It said, for the whole creation. And he prefaces, all nature waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons, or also another word he put there is God's kin, to be made known. Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. What's in you? What is it that you know that's in you, but you're afraid to let it out? What is in you that fear has kept you from letting it out? You say, can you prove what you're saying? Yes, I can. I'm going to prove it with the Word of God today. What'll keep you from your sonship being manifested? Let's look at the New American Standard Version. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, having read from these various translations, they are telling us that all creation, all nature, all created things are waiting for the sons of God, the kin of God, really to step up to the plate and reveal what they possess in Christ. Do you find situations in your day where you have an opportunity to reveal what you have in Christ and back off? You don't have to. You say, well, it might draw attention. Yeah, not to you, but make sure the attention's drawn to Jesus. Well, I might get accused of some things. Well, I just got two words for you. So what? The word creation here is literally means all creation or all created things. So creation expectantly waits. All created things. What are we talking about when we talk about all created things? Well, we have to go back to the garden, and we have to look at the setting with Adam and Eve, who hung out with animals, wild animals. I don't believe they were any different than they are today, except for the fact that they knew that Adam and Eve had dominion. They were in charge. All nature obeyed their voice. Now remember, we talked about in the past how that Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, which is a section of land. I think you can find it on a map around Turkey in that area. But the truth is this. They were supposed to, by their word, spread this beauty and this dominion to the whole earth. So I have to ask you this. How much better do you think that would be in Christ? And what you have that you've been waiting eagerly longing for it to come out of you, and creation itself, all the chaos, all the storms, all the junk. Yeah, but you know what? That's prophecy. I'm talking about what you possess. I'm talking about what goes on in your house, what goes on in your neighborhood, what goes in where you see disaster and you speak a word and it prevents disaster from taking place. Do you know disaster is not supposed to happen to believers? Well, you know it rains on the just and the unjust. Do you know what? Just because it rains doesn't mean you have to get wet. Just because it rains doesn't mean you have to be affected by what's going on or affected. And so it's very important that we understand how different we are than the world and what the Bible says that pertains to the world system that does not pertain to believers. So today I want to focus on another passage of Scripture, just laying a foundation going back to a couple of months ago. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Now, if you have any such thing, I haven't said this for a long time, but if you have any such thing as a spiritual seatbelt, I would advise you right now, fasten your spiritual seatbelt, put your tray in the upright position, put your seat up, get ready, get braced, get set. Verse 13. For the promise that he, Abraham, would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Now we'll see some more in just a few moments. So we see here that God made a promise to Abraham, and that promise was that he would be the heir of the world. But not just Abraham, but it would be through Abraham. How many know that you're saved by grace through faith? Everybody say, I am saved by grace through faith. So God promised Abraham that through all his seed, there was going to be some heirs of the world. And of course, that's much better in Christ, and we're going to get there this morning. But God's promise was to his seed. And the seed obtains the promise through Jesus Christ. Verse 16, Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise, everybody say the promise, that the promise might be sure or a guarantee to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So those under the law could have had the promise. How do you get the promise? By faith. Not by legalism, not by practicing a bunch of rules and regulations, but by faith in God. So it's clear that no one can experience the promise of God by practicing the law, which represents this. When I'm referring to the law, today I'm talking about this. It represents self-righteousness, self-effort, or self-performance, and is based on putting my faith in my works, putting my faith in my effort, believing that it alone will cause me to obtain the promise of God. Can you obtain the promises of God by working for them? Are there still some things Christians ought to do? Let me ask you this. Are there some things Christians should not do? All right, so we're in agreement this morning. All right, so you cannot work real hard and be a really, really, really good little Christian and obtain the promises of God. You've got to use your faith. God wants us to rely on or look to the finished work of Jesus and not our ability to get blessed. Romans 4 verse 14 says, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise of no effect. Why can't you use your ability to get blessed, to attain something? Because it's a promise. God promised it. What do you do with a promise? You know, when I first came out of my, when I was still in my denomination, I met this Word of Faith pastor, and he came to me one day to my town and said, I'd like to buy you a cup of coffee. Well, I had no problem with having a cup of coffee with a preacher. And we had a cup of coffee, and we walked out of the restaurant, and this is what he did to me. He took out of his pocket and gave me a $20 bill. And you know what I said? I don't want that. And you know what he said to me? I've never forgotten. He said, you need to learn to receive. You know, we need to learn to receive the promise of God. We need to learn to receive and accept, to grab hold of, to take what God said belongs to us and not feel like we have to do a bunch of little deeds to get what God said. I want to read you something. It's in your notes from the commentary by Andrew Womack on Romans 4:13. It says, "There is no Old Testament scripture that states in these words that Abraham would be the heir of the world. The closest scripture would be when the Lord told Abram that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him." Everybody say through him. That's Genesis 12, verse 3. "And that he had made Abraham the father of many nations," Genesis 17, verse 4 and 5. The Jews had interpreted God's promises to Abraham as being to his physical descendants only. However, the Apostle Paul's wording of the Old Testament promises to Abraham removed any doubt about the Jews being the only ones to be blessed through God's covenant with Abraham. Abraham's true seed is anyone of any nation or language who places faith in Christ as his or her Savior. Is that powerful or what? Now, I love Jewish people. As a matter of fact, my big brother's a Jew. My big brother Jesus, he's Jewish. And I've been adopted into the family, so I'm a little bit Jewish too. And I don't have a lot of personal roots in the Jewish faith, but my big brother does. He got a lot of roots because he was there from the beginning of time. And I appreciate the Jewish people. God said that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? And there's a lot of conflict and turmoil going on over there right now. And we need to pray and uphold not only Israel and not only the leaders of that nation, because that's God's nation as well as we are grafted in the vine, but also for our country. You say, well, I can't stand our country because we got some horrible leaders. God didn't ask you what you thought about the leaders. God asked you to pray for all those who are in authority, for kings, which would be a president. You say, but I don't like the current president. Well, there's been a few presidents I haven't liked, but I prayed for them. Not bragging on me, I'm just telling you, we need to respond to the word of God. Pray for our leaders. Why is that? It'll make them better leaders. If they don't make the right decisions, then God knows how to remove people from office and get somebody else in. You see, we quit believing that a long time ago, that God was able, based on our prayers, based on our words. Don't be praying, God, get him out, God, get him out, God, get him out, God, get him out. If all you can pray is in tongues, then you pray for our leaders in tongues. Pray for our leaders. Don't know how I got off on that, but I did. In part of my message, but it became a part. The promise is valid. It's real. But my self-effort voids the promise from working in me. We only become an heir of the world. Anybody here believe you're an heir of the world? Now, I'm read it to you in Scripture, okay? We're not done reading, but I read it to you in Scripture. I'm asking you today, if you're not ashamed, to admit that you are an heir of the world through Christ. Anybody buy that today? All right? Well, it's true, and I'm going to show you how much it's true in just a little bit. And it comes through the righteousness of faith. Genesis 12, verse 3, God spoke to Abram and said, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." How many of you have a family? How many of you are glad that gravity still holds you to this earth? So apparently that's talking about you. Tell someone that's talking about me. All right, so all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So what does he mean by blessed? Well, the word blessed is translated here in the Hebrew, prosperity. Now, it's not all about money. Prosperity is bigger than money. Do you realize that? All right, so you need to understand, first of all, God made a promise to Abraham that extends to you that your family's blessed. Well, I don't like my family. Well, they're blessed anyway. You need to speak the truth. Don't speak your feelings. Don't speak your experiences. Speak the truth. Genesis 17, verse 4 and 5. He said this, "As for me," God says, this is a capital M, "as for me, behold, my covenant is with you." Now, not only did God have a covenant with Abraham, but how many know that God had a covenant with Adam? All right. So God's covenant doesn't stop. So if you see what Adam had, multiply that a bit in Christ and see what you got. All right, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Tall One, or one of a good reputation, or one that's got a great name, or one that's just a really good guy. But your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Let's move right on to Hebrews 8, verse 6. Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also, I saw that for the first time this morning, that he is also, in addition to some other things, mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Everybody say better covenant? Better covenant. Based on better promises. So therefore, under the new covenant, Romans 4:13 said that the promise that Abraham was given, that he would be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, that's all it says, but through the righteousness of faith. Why did God call Abraham righteous? Because he had faith in God. He believed God. Well, do you believe God today? Well, I'm going to say some things to you and show you some things in the Word of God, and I want you to ask your own self this question in about 30 minutes from now. Do I believe God? Do I have faith in God? Do I believe God's Word is true? You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. If that isn't God calling you righteous, then I don't know what is. You're righteous. All right, and you've got the scripture there, and we've gone over it many times. So we will move on from that, just knowing this, that we are clothed in the righteousness of God. If you read last Friday's devotion, then we addressed that. Adam and Eve were once clothed in the righteousness of God, but today you are clothed in the righteousness of God. And so when the scripture says an heir of the world, it is meaning the same thing as what was written in Romans 8:19, and we'll read it again from the Amplified just for to remember, just to bounce back with. For even the whole creation, everybody say the whole creation. Now I want you to think right now in your belief system, in your mind, what you think about the whole creation. What does the whole creation mean to you? Because it didn't say part of the creation. It didn't say a little bit of the creation. It said the whole creation. All created things. I want you to think about that. What do you believe about that? What do you think God's talking about that when he's saying that? Even the whole creation, all nature. Anybody ever been to the zoo? Do you know why animals are behind cages? Because somebody forgot they had dominion. You know why we run from snakes, grab a shovel real quick? Someone forgot they had dominion. I'm not suggesting you'll get a pet snake. I'm not suggesting you'll go get a pet lion. When I met Faye, our first date, Mickey's Grove, California, little zoo there, little petting zoo type thing. Well, not really petting, but there was this Bengal tiger. And here's Faye. I want one. And so I got her one, but it was stuffed. That was about as close as I was getting. Because I wasn't taught that I had authority. I wasn't taught that in the name of Jesus, I could tell something to back off. You say, Pastor, you're getting out there. Well, some of you are going with me, so that's okay. Even a whole creation, all nature, not just animals, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons, his kin, to be made known. Waits for the revealing or the disclosing of their sonship. So the word creation here used literally means all created things. Well, what's all created things? Well, what do you see? What have you experienced in life? It got created. It didn't just appear one day except by the word of the Lord, and now you have the word of the Lord to rule it. So all creation, all nature, listen to this, is standing by, eagerly waiting for someone to rise up and say, I'm a son of God. I'm the kin of God. Well, you say, well, how do I know that? Look at the examples of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how the kin of God operated, Jesus. You say, well, I didn't see anybody else do that. Then go on into the book of Acts and into Romans and see how the kin of God operated. The blind were caused to see. The lame was made to walk. The dead was caused to be raised. The lepers was cleansed. The kin of God stood up to the plate and did what they were designed to do. All right? I want to use an example this morning from Mark chapter 4 when Jesus was confronted by the storm on the sea. Now, when we talk about created things, how many of you, when we said that, thought about animals? All right? So there was this guy once who was in a lion's den. You say, yeah, but God shut their mouths. You know what? I don't care if God shut their mouths or not. He was in a lion's den. It said he shut their mouths. Is that not true? Did they still have claws? He shut their mouths. So at some point in time, Daniel must have understood that he believed the God that he served. Do you believe the God that you serve? You ever seen a believer, even a spirit-filled believer, who was in a fire and was scarred terribly from a fire? There was these three guys once named the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were in a fire once because they wouldn't bow down and worship false gods. They chose to make a stand. They chose to have their witness in check. And do you know what happened to them? Nothing. They were in the fire, and when the king's man looked in and said, King, did we not throw three in there? He said, man, there's a fourth one in there, and he looks like he must be the Son of God. And they came out of that fire, a created thing. They came out of that fire, and they were not burned, and not even did their clothes smell like smoke. I'm not asking you to go walk in a fire today. I'm not asking you to go to the zoo and ask him to open the door and stick you in with a lion. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Getting quiet in this place. All right, let's look at something we're more familiar with. We begin to dabble in, we begin to exercise our faith in. Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. On the same day when the evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Do you know what this was? This was a prophetic directive. Now, this is something we don't talk about much in this church. There's words of prophecy, and there is a prophetic gift that speaks in various realms, but there's also a prophetic directive. A man came to me one time and said, Pastor, I need a job. I have two job offers. This is the first job they're offering me. This is the second job. And the Spirit of the Lord rose up in me, and I said, take the first job. Now, I don't know, that just jumped out of me. That was a prophetic directive, and the man went and was hired at the first job. So we need to be aware that there is such a thing as a prophetic directive. Let us cross over to the other side. Do you know that's all Jesus said? Now, watch these next words. Now, when they had left the multitude, not talking about Jesus at the moment, when they had left the multitude, so the disciples finished their business, and they left the multitude where they were. Here's a good thing, these next first four words. They took him along. How many know that's a good thing? How many know he never leaves us and never forsakes us? He's with us always. All right, so they took him along in the boat as he was. So I asked the Lord about these words, as he was. What exactly does that mean? Jesus was not the key feature here. Jesus is kind of in the background. He said, let's cross to the other side, got in the boat with him as he was. And watch this, and other little boats were also with him. Now, he wasn't trying to make a spectacle. He wasn't trying to draw a crowd, but little boats, people got in boats and followed him. When Jesus would go to the mountain to pray, guess what? It was hard to get away because multitudes followed him. I'm wondering where the sons of God are today that will rise up and say, I'm going to be just like Jesus. I'm going to do exactly what God's word says I can do, be what he says I can be, and have what he says I can have. The little boats followed him, verse 37. And a great wind arose, a great windstorm. The word great here in the Greek is the word mega. A mega windstorm arose. So it wasn't just a little breeze and a few waves splashing in the boat. It said the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So you got a boat fill up. Anybody ever been in the middle of a lake and your boat was filling up with water? How many know that's not fun? Especially if you've got a long ways to swim to get to shore. That's not fun. But he was in the stern. What was he doing? He was at peace, asleep on a pillow. And everybody says, poor Jesus, he didn't have no place to lay his head. Well, he laid it on a pillow right there. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I believe the original King James says, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? You ever been in a situation and your first reaction was, we're about to die. I mean, we're going out. There's no way we're coming out of this one. How many know there is an alternative? Verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea. So he did two things here. He rebuked the wind, and then he spoke to the sea, because there was two things going on. How many know sometimes we speak to one thing and we forget everything else that's going on, and we fail to achieve the victory that we were supposed to get, that belonged to us. So he rebuked the wind, then he addressed the sea, and here's what he said to the sea. See, he didn't pray for 45 minutes, oh God, we're just interceding, we're just praying, God, somehow this storm's got to go away. Father, you've got to intervene for us and pray in tongues for another 30 minutes. No, he just said these words, peace, be still. And the Bible said, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, also translated mega calm. So if there's a mega storm, it needs a mega calm attached to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? I want you to hear this morning. You may want to write this down. Fear will keep you from ruling. Fear will keep you from operating in the dominion that God destined you to have. Fear of laying hands on the sick will keep the sick from being healed in certain instances. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And in reality, if you study this, what Jesus was saying is, why aren't you using your faith? Well, because they weren't born again. Well, that's true. And they didn't have faith. Well, that's not true. Many old covenant people, Jesus said, by your faith, you have been made whole. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. In other words, they even got more afraid and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm wondering when somebody's going to rise up in the city of Rolla in Phelps County and say, who are these people that even storms obey them? Who are these people that even sickness obeys them? Who are these people that even diseases that the doctor can't cure and don't even have a name for, but it obeys their voice? Huh. Am I just a little bit excited? So when Jesus spoke and said, let's cross to the other side, he was exercising his rule. He was exercising his reign, his dominion, his authority. He did it by his words. How many know what you believe in your heart? Oftentimes you will speak out of your mouth. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. By our words, we are snared. By our words, we're overcome. But also by our words, we declare victory and we declare the rule of God. So how do I release this rule, this dominion that God promised me? By your words. There in the midst of the sea, when this mega storm arose, as they woke him for a specific reason, they were greatly afraid of the storm. What is the storm in this context today? Part of nature. So they were afraid of nature, but had the rule over nation. Now, of course, they weren't born again, but I'm looking at some people this morning in this house who are born again, spirit-filled believers. And you have authority, you have the rule, the dominion over nature. Now, there's people that doesn't believe that, and that's okay. Because you can believe and receive it or doubt it and do without it, as Paul Pagan used to say. And so the truth is, you can say, let's be afraid, be very afraid, because there's a storm headed our way. Or you can declare in the name of Jesus, you can do whatever you want to do, but you will not touch down on this earth. Do you know you can also command storms to diminish, to dissolve, to disappear? If you understand that, do you know you can command cancer to dissolve and disappear? Do you know that you can cause what society calls the common cold, but there's nothing common about a cold? It's only common to a bunch of people who in common receive and accept what's going on. But it's not common to us, isn't that right? And so you have the authority to command what is called or phrased the common cold to dissolve and disappear. A storm in the body, yes. Here's what happened. Jesus did not change or alter what he had spoken. Let us cross over to the other side. He didn't alter his knowledge of his position. Do you have knowledge of your position today in Christ? He didn't alter his knowledge of his position to rule and reign over life circumstances. I'm telling you today that you have the authority to rule and reign over life's circumstances. He didn't let the storm change his perspective of the words he had spoken, which were promised by his Father. Jesus did not change his words because of where he was or who he was around. So I'm just bringing to your attention some thoughts this morning. Have you found yourself changing your position, changing your words because of who you're around? Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, I don't either, but I just want to get them healed, get them whole. I visited Eldon the other day there in the nursing home, and we just had a time of prayer right there before God and the staff, right to the admissions table. And I didn't think about whether anybody was listening or not. What if they were listening, Pastor? Boy, I hope they got it. I just believe they got it. I mean, if they got it, then maybe they just reached out a little bit with their faith and a little bit of it got over on them. Not ashamed. Carmen wrote a song and used to sing, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel or his name." No way I'm not ashamed. No way. Say, no way I'm not ashamed of the gospel or his name. Jesus spoke to the storm, and this mega storm, got a mega calm. When the disciples said, "Who is this that the wind and the sea obey him?" They had a little bit of knowledge of who they were hanging out with. At least he claimed to be the Son of God. And now they were afraid. Can't understand it. So they really didn't understand in full who it was they had in their boat with them. Who is it that you have in your boat with you? I'm not talking about in the bottom of the boat. He's right there hooked up with you. It's Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. So the righteousness of faith would have expected the words of Jesus to be done when he said, "Let's cross over to the other side." But self-performance, now I want you to hear this, because this may fit you and this may not fit you. If it's not for you, then throw it over to the next person. It might fit them. Self-performance says, "I can't fix it and I can't be in control of it, so now I'm afraid for my life." But there's something wrong with that, because you are in charge. But if you know you're in charge and you're afraid to let it out of your mouth because someone might hear you, "Well, Pastor, I'm on my job." And your mouth is sewed shut on your job. You must work at a hospital where they have sutures. And they sewed your mouth shut and you're not able to speak anymore. "Well, I'm going to learn sign language like Barb. I'm going to get that message out there. I'm going to get it out of my mouth somehow. I got a scissors. I'll cut the sutures. I'm opening my mouth." I know, but that's okay. So Jesus is the heir of the world, just as you and I are heirs of the world. And we reign with him. So let me ask you a question this morning. And you may have to say this by faith, and you may not believe it and not say anything, but I have to ask you this morning, do you reign? Do you reign? That's over all nature, all created things. Are people asking about you? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea, tornadoes obey them? Oh, well, it's in people that go down to that church, you know, worship and word fellowship. As heir, an heir is a ruler in the same sense as Adam and Eve. And we'll finish with this. Genesis 1, verse 26. And I've got another verse or so, but I just want you to see this with me. Then God said, "Let us make man in whose image?" And who is our? You're talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit at this point in time. According to whose likeness? All right, so now, if mankind in Adam, who we descended from, was created in the image of God and created in the likeness of God, then guess whose image you're created in? If you dare this morning, say, "I'm just like God. I'm just like God." His image and his likeness. As a matter of fact, when you look in the mirror, whose image do you see? Look past the veil of the flesh and see your Father. You're just like your Father. Can't you tell? We look alike. I mean, if I had a side-by-side photo, we've got a picture of Keith Allen, who does the Neil Diamond image in Branson, and he is endorsed by Neil Diamond. They have pictures, they have look-alike photos. Man, I'm telling you, it's almost a clear look-alike. Well, I need a photo of me and God. I look like my father. You can see his features in me. You can see his features in you. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Now here's what he gave them dominion over that never did change. This is a covenant promise, and it never did change. Dominion over the fish of the sea. You ever went fishing and come back empty-handed? You don't have to. Over the birds of the air. You ever had pesky birds bugging you? Just flying around, just crashing into your screen. Do you know you can speak to birds? Be at peace. Go away. There's some clear land over there. Over the cattle and over all the earth. But there is a phrase here that we need to interject, Syriac, and it reads this, and I'll explain that in a moment. It reads, all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You ever had some bugs bug you? You ever had yourself, your house infested and you couldn't afford a Terminator? You couldn't afford a Terminator, but nobody had shut your mouth. Oh, come on now, Pastor. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good. This word, Syriac, is an ancient Aramaic language spoken in Syria, but it's also broader than just Syria, from the 3rd to the 13th century that survives the liturgical language of several Eastern Christian churches of that time. So that's why this insertion is important. Over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Charles Capps used to say, if you're having trouble with creeps, you have authority over creeps. Don't associate that to a person you know now. So Adam and Eve ruled in the garden. This word dominion is the Hebrew word radah, and it is a primitive root word meaning to tread down. You ever felt like treading down some things, some stuff you needed to get taken care of? It means to subjugate, meaning to bring under control or conquer. Ever had some things that just needed to get under control? You need to conquer. Specifically to crumble off, come to, make to, have dominion, prevail against, to reign, to bear rule, and there's a whole lot of other words there. To take. But the nature of the rule of God that he gave to Adam and Eve was to be the rulers of the whole earth. Now, I've been to some meetings, and I've heard this preached, that we only have authority in our region. We don't have authority over the whole earth. But for me to repeat that, I would have to disregard what God spoke to Adam and Eve. Should we disregard what God spoke to Adam and Eve? Should we throw that part out of the Bible? So then if Adam and Eve had authority over the whole earth, then I am, in a sense, his replacement, except better in Christ. You are his replacement. So do you have authority over the whole earth or just a little bitty speck of the earth? The whole earth. Amen. So if you would have had warning about a tsunami, about a hurricane hitting Japan before it got to Japan, do you think if you would have rose up and spoke the word of the Lord that storm would have obeyed you? A mega storm required a mega calm. Well, guess what? I believe that too. And I also believe, because of recent experiences with some of you in this church, that had we known about the tornado, which was so suddenly that came to Joplin, had we known about that, we'd have put a stop to that thing. You say, what are you going to do, Pastor? Police the whole world? Well, if we can. I mean, it's going to have to start somewhere. Do you agree? Someone's going to have to rise up. Someone's going to have to preach this message. Someone's going to have to respond and be the runner of the word until it spreads to other churches and other states and other areas of the whole world, until we get the message that we rule and reign in this life over creation. I'm just reading you what the Bible says. You may take me off of your email list after today. You may take me off your Facebook list. But if you do, you know what? Several others will take your place. Someone will listen. What they were, Adam and Eve, in their created form, included the authority to spread what they were to the whole earth. So what are you? What is in you? What has God placed in you? You have the authority to spread what's in you to the whole earth. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, try your home first. Try your household. Try taking dominion over some things in your neighborhood. Not the people, but spirits. You say, well, you know, what if people are partying next door? And it's 2 a.m. and I got to get some sleep because I got to go to work or I got to get up and go to church. And they're just, and I just feel all these yucky demon spirits floating around. Well, stop just laying there. Open your mouth. Do something about it. And guess what they will do? They will cease their activity. So how much greater is our rulership or our dominion in Christ? According to the Scripture. Is that okay? According to the Scripture. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. We read it before. If we're children, then we're heirs. So we're first children. We also get to be heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. An heir of God over all creation. And do you know what? That creation is waiting for the heirs of God to rise up. They're waiting for you and I. How's the world going to know if what you do is done in the privacy of your prayer closet? Can you do that? Yes. But are there times you've had opportunities out in public? Oh, Jesus, help us here. Jesus had a public ministry. Do you know that God doesn't have a secret service? God doesn't have spies that are going around doing things in secret time, trying to manipulate the system. No, God has some believers who will rise up in authority and say, look, Adam and Eve was in charge of the earth and they messed up and Jesus gave it to me and I'm not going to let down. We're in charge of all creation. Praise the Lord. So all creation's waiting for you and I to step up, take our place as those who have dominion, those who have authority over storms. Do you have authority over storms? Those who have authority over sickness, do you have authority over sickness? Those who have authority over disease, do you have authority over disease? Those who have authority over any creeping thing that roams on this earth, do you have that authority today? Well, the question is, since you now have confessed to the fact that you have the knowledge of that authority, are you using that authority? Are you exercising that authority? Don't pick and choose what area you're going to use it in. How about use it all the time? Well, you know, I call on God once a week. I'll exercise my authority every now and then. Well, that probably answers some questions for me. No pun intended. We're to stand firm in the righteousness of faith. And here's what I want to close with. And we are to believe, you are to believe, that God will do through you exactly what His Word says. God will do through you everything that we see demonstrated in Scripture. You have authority. Say, I have dominion. I have authority. The authority to rule over all creation. That is, all created things, including all nature. And all creation is waiting for me. They're waiting expectantly, eagerly for me to step up and be in charge and take authority and the rule even over evil spirits. And they will bow down when I speak because I have authority which is in Christ. Evil spirits are subject to your command. Don't let them get away with anything. They're nothing but a liars of their father. They carry the lies of their father, Satan. You have authority. You have authority. Thank you, Father. Give me just a minute. It's early. Thank you, Father. Everyone here that has some sort of a neurological issue, and we prayed over several things while ago, any type of neurological system issue, you can tell because there may be a part of your body where there's this tingling or sometimes a jerking pain, It's as if that the electrical system in your body isn't flowing together. Someone's cut a wire somewhere. And God wants to restore that to you today in the name of Jesus. And so I just speak to neurological systems today in Jesus' name. I don't really have a clear picture. I just have a clear word. And so I just speak in the name of Jesus for restoration to take place by the power and the authority of Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I have seen lately people having leg cramps. I just sense that that's broader than just a few people. I think it's something the enemy's trying to do. And if you've been having leg cramps, sometimes they're nodding and sometimes they get really bad. Sometimes I just saw this picture in the spirit, multiple nodding, multiple cramps, and sometimes they're very painful. Anybody ever had that before? And they hurt. And in the name of Jesus, I just speak to your system, to the very root cause of that. I curse that in Jesus' name. If you're not eating right, I pray for wisdom to come to you to eat right. If there's something that you're not doing that God wants you to do, then you need to do that. God, show your people. But I also know that supernaturally I speak by the Spirit of God. And in Jesus' name, I release healing power to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I was in a meeting a few weeks ago. I told you about being at a lake, and there was a worship leader who has real issues being in the sun, and I'll have a heat stroke and just can't be in the sun. Anybody have that issue? Just this, besides Greg, anybody have that issue that the sun really gets to you in a short period of time? And here's what happened. The Spirit of the Lord rose up on me, and I did something I've never done in 39 years of ministry. I spoke a supernatural cooling system in her body. You say, well, where do you find that in the scripture? I don't know. But do you know that worship leader went through a whole worship set in the sun, and it was hot, and did not have any issue whatsoever? And so for those of you that are experiencing that, because God showed me this morning as I was preparing for this service, I speak in Jesus' name to your body. Whatever has been harmed, has been messed up by the plan of the enemy, God can turn around for your good. And what the enemy has tried to destroy and bring havoc to your body, in Jesus' name, I speak a creative miracle for a repairing to take place. God's just operating in you right now, whether you're aware of that or not. And in Jesus' name, I speak a supernatural cooling system in your body that you will be able to handle what you need to handle because you're doing it for your family to make a paycheck. And others who have had issues with that, I just speak that to you as well. Wholeness. Wholeness. It's not the will of God for you to be sick. Not the will of God for you to have an earache. Not the will of God for you to have nosebleeds. Not the will of God for you to have joint pain. In Jesus' name, healing in this body. Healing in this body. Healing in this body. Are we stopping here? We're going on to perfection in our bodies, aren't we? And you know what? The day is going to come when we're going to shed this body, and we're going to take on the same body that Christ has right now. Until then, I'm going to take care of my body. That means I'm going to eat right. I'm going to put the right stuff in it and avoid putting the wrong stuff in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's a personal commitment people have to make. And we're going to speak the word. We're going to bathe ourselves in the Word of God. Amen? You can be washed in the water of the Word, but not just because you lay a Bible on you. If you put a Bible in your bathtub, you do not get washed in the water of the Word. You'll ruin your Bible. But that's all. And plus, you'll get clean from the bath. But when you take the Word of God... Everybody say this after me as a closing this morning, as an ending. Let's just do it in a mode of thanksgiving. We'll just do it my way, and then later you can add whatever you need to add. Thank you, Father, for healing and divine health, for soundness in my body, for soundness in my mind. I thank you that my body responds to the Spirit of God, responds to the Word of God, very quickly, and is whole. I walk in healing. I walk in health. And I thank you, Father, for financial increase and divine prosperity. I thank you for debt cancellation, even over debt I've foolishly incurred. I thank you that you call me blessed. Therefore, I am blessed. I thank you, Father, for divine protection that you have given the angels the charge over me, to watch over me, to keep me, to bear me up, to prevent me from dashing my foot against a stone. I am protected. No matter what the enemy tries to send, I have divine protection. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you for divine favor. I have your favor, God. It's undeserved favor, but I got it. And I thank you, Father, that I am surrounded by favor. I have favor with you, and I have favor with men. I have super favor in business deals. I have super favor in the shopping place, whether I'm buying clothing, whether I'm buying food, whether I'm buying a car, whether I'm buying a house. I have super favor. I have unusual favor. I have favor that doesn't make any sense to the natural mind, but it's according to your word. So it makes supernatural sense. Do you believe that this morning? Thank you, Father. Do you feel blessed? Feeling doesn't have anything to do with it, does it? You're blessed. Did you get anything out of this morning? Praise you.